You're listening to the North Canton Chapel podcast. Thank you for joining us today. The North Canton Chapel exists to make much of Jesus every day to everyone. It's our prayer that this podcast will equip you to do just that. We believe that there's nothing like the church united together in gospel community. We'd love if you'd stop in and say hello in person if you're in our neighborhood. Our gathering times are at 9 and 10:30 a.m. Thank you again for joining us today. Let's listen in.
Welcome. We are NCC. This is just kind of one of these awesome Sundays right at the turn of the year where we stop and just have a little bit of a family chat. And these are good Sundays. So you've seen the statistics. I have too, about how a 2024 world has very little value for church. How church is declining in the West and how most of modern Americans think that church really doesn't have a whole lot of value in these days. I've seen those statistics. I'd like to offer a very different perspective. I think that our world is hungrier for the gospel than ever. When I look around, I see a lot of evidence to suggest that people are living closer to vanity, closer to emptiness, closer to all these things that we hoped would bring us satisfaction and fulfillment, but have in time shown themselves to be empty and pseudo-messiahs in our lives. That's what I see when I look at our world. I see a lot of people who are craving truth, the kind of truth that God is desperate to share with us. I think people are starving for the kind of dignity that only the gospel can provide. I think people want the freedom and peace that only Christ can bring. I think people are hungry for the kind of community that the church can become. And I would venture to say that our world's greatest obstacles are the church's greatest opportunities. I think the world is probably more ready than we realize. Now, I'm not a vision casting guy. I think most of you who know me well know that. I don't really like casting vision, talking about vision. It makes me feel really self-conscious, really funny, and honestly, most times a little presumptuous. I'd rather just kind of sit in the moment and be attentive to what's kind of right in front of me. But this is the one Sunday where we pull back and we go, okay, if you buy that idea that the world's greatest obstacles are the church's greatest opportunities, what does that even mean? And how do we live in that as a church? So behind me, there are 168 ping pong balls on 7 strings. I'm going to get to what those mean in a second, but before we do, I want us to consider something. I think there are two opposite but very equally dangerous extremes when it comes to thinking about church in our world. Two opposite but equally dangerous extremes. First extreme is to think that this hour on Sunday morning is the most important hour of a week. That this is what the Christian life is about. To think that what we are doing right now in this room, that this is the whole point. To think that all that really has to happen is like put on a 90-minute show, you know, once a week where we sing some songs that everybody kind of likes or sort of tries to kind of like, and somebody comes out and talks for 20 minutes and says something that's thought-provoking or inspiring or maybe a little encouraging, a few jokes thrown in, and like have some great programming for the kids to keep them in line, some mediocre coffee. And that's the whole point, right? Like, this is it. Sunday morning is what we all drive to. That's one extreme. I think another extreme, the complete opposite, but equally dangerous, is to think that Sunday morning really doesn't mean a whole lot, that this is kind of like a quaint holdover, a nostalgic thing from a bygone era, that Sunday morning is, you know, it's nice, it's probably something we should do, but the Christian life is out there, right? Like, so we show up on Sunday morning, we do our thing, and So extreme number one, Sunday morning is everything. Extreme number two, Sunday morning is nothing. Both of those extremes are incorrect because both miss a very essential connection for what it means to be the church. Here's what I mean. At North Canton Chapel, we say this all the time, and most of you know what is about to come out of my mouth. We exist to be a church who makes much of Jesus every day to everyone. And I think for the last 4 or 5 years, we've gotten really, really good at the first half of that statement. Make much of Jesus. You know that. It's why we talk about the gospel the way that we do. Every message you hear from this pulpit is unapologetically gospel-centered. Every song that we sing lifts up the truths of the gospel, the curriculum that our students and our children follow and is taught in our Sunday morning groups. That's all about the gospel. That gospel centrality, by the way, I think, is what got us through COVID. It's what got us through the last election, and it's going to get us through the next one. And I would venture to say that that gospel centrality is probably why you're here, because we make much of Jesus. I think we've done a great job emphasizing that first half of the message in the last 4 or 5 years. And as I've been praying about what I think God has for us in this next season of our church, thinking about where we're going to go as we move forward, like the next 5, 10, hopefully longer years, I think it's time that we take the intensity with which we make much of Jesus and spin that out to our everyday and everyone. I think it's time we get serious, really serious, about that second half of that statement. So if you believe that the world's greatest obstacles are the church's greatest opportunities, and that you've not just been called to Sunday morning, but you've been called personally to make disciples out there, every day to everyone, that you are responsible to something, the question becomes very simple but deceptively difficult. How does Sunday morning help me do that? Or does it? How does what we do in this very crucial hour of the week connect to everything else that you feel God responsible or calling you to be responsible to for the other 167 hours in the week? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. So, 168 ping pong balls. These represent the 168 hours of your week. On 7 strings, 7 days, 24 balls per strand. This one right here is red, so we are right here. Your day started at 1 a.m. on Sunday. You've already burned through like 9 of them, guys. Sorry. Here we are. This is the rest of your week. This 1 hour is super crucial. It really matters. The question is, how does it matter? And so here's where we're going this morning. We're going to invite just 4 members of our staff team, Alex, Judy, Micah, and Dave, to talk through how Sunday morning can connect to the rest of your week. We're going to look at groups and missions. We're going to look at our family ministry. We're going to look at worship. And we're even going to talk about our facilities, share some exciting plans. And in all of these areas, we're going to ask, how does the one connect to the 168? So if you believe that the world's greatest obstacles are the church's greatest opportunities, how do we actually make much of Jesus every day to everyone? So, first I want to invite Alex up. Alex, why don't you come on up? Let's give him a round of applause. Sure. Here we go. I was sort of joking, like, Alex, I love this pink. What is with the pink shirt? Tell us about that.
This says Joy for Evie. And yeah, it's just kind of what we're doing here, just to celebrate the Brumfields and walk alongside them and love and care for them. And
awesome. If you know Alex at all, Alex's heart is it does live in this perfect balance between everything here, but then also it's just he's such a missions-oriented individual. You always think outside, and I love that. So Alex serves as our group life and missions pastor, and so he oversees all of that stuff, which is a ton of work for which you are definitely well qualified. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions. How does groups and missions, the way that we think about groups and missions, how does that connect to 168?
Yeah, well, I was kind of thinking about this and praying about it, and something kind of came up in my heart, really, and in my mind. If groups and missions doesn't connect with 1 over 168, then we're all in trouble. This church is in trouble. It absolutely matters what happens, not only here on Sunday mornings, but in our groups and in our and how we do mission here. I think about the Great Commission. Jesus says, go out into the world, make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. And we get to kind of set that up, and we get to be a catalyst for that to actually happen in real life with all the other 167 hours.
I love that. I love that a lot.
Also, just thinking like groups, you know, there's this American maybe idea of like, I'm going to go to a group on a Sunday morning or whatever. I'm going to be part of a group. I'm going to be fed, and I'm going to get a whole bunch of information, and I'm going to just kind of learn a lot of things, which is good. Like, it's really good to learn. I think it's fun. I'm kind of like a history nerd, and I'll be on my phone scrolling, looking at random facts, because I really like to learn it. It's really good. But the important thing is, what do we do with that? If we sit in these rooms on Sunday mornings, if we're part of our missional or our community groups or any other groups that were part of our Bible studies, it's like, that's really good. And you should do that, and you should try to learn as much as you can. But let that be a catalyst for what's next, that going out and living on mission.
Awesome. I love that. So when we look toward the fall, I mean, I feel like you're warming up to preach right now. It's so good. I love it. When we look toward this fall, right around the corner, what's going on in group life and missions that everybody needs to know about?
Yeah. Well, I think really what's going on right now, there's a lot of really cool things happening. And I know, like, obviously I would say that because I'm on staff here and, like, that's just what I would say. But truly, there's been, I wish I had more time, because I would love to tell all the stories of what's happening here at the North Canton Chapel. But I'm gonna kind of just tell you a couple stories really, really quick. Just let that paint the picture of kind of what's going on here at the chapel. So we have groups living on mission. We talk about community groups, Sunday morning groups, whatever. Like, we have groups actually living on mission together. So a community group, the college-age young adult group, the other day we're kind of brainstorming, how can we be missional? Yeah. Like, we're a group, we're kind of growing together, and how we learn the gospel, and we're growing in our relationship with Jesus. But, like, together as a group, what do we do? Like, what's our next step? And someone was like, obviously, it's to go serve. And we're like, yes, right answer. Like, let's go serve. Let's go be the hands and feet of Jesus. So the question was, what are we going to do? That's always the group's questions, right? Like, community groups get together, like, let's go serve. Let's go live on mission. What do we do? How do we do that together as a group? Do we sign up for something? Like, do we do a habitat build? How do we do that? Well, this group was like, let's just go walk around downtown Canton, and let's put these bags together with water and some beef jerky, a Bible, and some granola bars, and a Bible, and a Bible little verse encouragement, and let's just walk around and go seek people. We don't have to do this whole crazy thing. Like, we can just go up to a person. And it wasn't just this idea of, like, we're going to go seek out every single homeless person in Canton. It was like, if we see a lawyer coming out of the courthouse, he needs Jesus, or she needs Jesus just as much as the homeless person does. So we want to be an extension of the gospel to everybody. So we just walked around Canton, and the only thing that we said was, learn people's names. And if you can, try to hear their stories.
It's awesome.
And just be a part of that. And that group did it. Like, we actually were able to go out and do this, and massive fruit happened. And it's just one little story of what God's doing here. He's not only forming these really, really good groups, but there's something happening where these groups and people here at the North Canton Chapel were like, we don't want to just sit in a classroom. We want to go out and be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Love that.
And what that did was inspired each of those people in the college group to then go out in their own, you know, their own schools, their own neighborhoods, their own workplaces, and have that excitement to go out and make much of Jesus.
I love that. That's something I heard a phrase once that I'll cascade to you guys. Never ask permission to do what Jesus has already told you to do. Just do it. So, coming up this fall, what's around the corner? What should people be aware of related to groups and missions?
Yeah, so real quick, just to give everybody an idea of kind of what's coming, we have an opportunity. So missions, specifically global, right now we're planning for two Guatemala teams, two Dominican Republic teams, a small Poland team, and potentially a small Cuba team, all in 2025. So
it's gonna be awesome.
Be a part of one of those teams, truly. Like, if you've never experienced a global mission team, email me, talk to me. I'm sure you've heard many stories. Be a part of one of those teams. We also have our mission board. We're kind of coming together as to help really streamline ways that we, as the North Canton Chapel, can serve and partner with all of our local mission partners. I know it can be difficult because you're like, okay, how do I do that? Do I got to sign up online? Do I have to do this? We're trying to streamline it so that it's like we just know what to do and how to do it, and that we can get plugged in immediately whenever that group or even individually, when you're like, I want to serve, it's like, then we got you. We're gonna make that happen really, really quickly, however God's kind of stirring in your heart. Obviously, there's great things happening in men's and women's ministries. If you check out on our website, tons of opportunities. And really one that I want to kind of say as in closing here, we have something called Foundations coming. You're going to hear a lot more about this, but just kind of put this in the back of your mind. We're going to be launching something called NCC Foundations in 2025. And really, it's for anybody who wants and desires, and really we hope everybody, whether you've just entered the North Canton Chapel, you walk through these doors, and you know all you know is how to spell the name Jesus, and you know nothing else about the Bible, or the person that's been sitting in these chairs for, you know, 30, 40 years, and you know a lot about the Bible. But this is Foundations. We're just going over the core doctrines of the faith and really why these core doctrines are important for how we live our life in this run, in this race we call, you know, following Jesus.
I love it. Alex, thank you so much. Let's give him a hand. Super cool. Yeah, I'll encourage you, just keep your eyes peeled. There's a lot of great things, like, right on the cusp about to happen. And again, Foundations, I'll hit that again. If you've ever wondered, like, what are the basics of the Christian faith? How do we think about these things? Foundations is going to be your next step. So next, I want to invite Judy McClintock up. Let's give Judy a hand. Sweet. So Judy serves as our family ministry director, which is all the way from like age 0 to age 18. So that's a lot of responsibility. You may not know this, but 1 in 5 people here at North Canton Chapel are under the age of 15, which is incredible.
We've seen a
ton of growth in that area, and it's really exciting. And so, Judy, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to get out of Judy's way. That's what I've learned to do. It's like, just, all right, here we go. So how does children, students, family ministry, how does that connect to 1 over 168?
All right, so I'm going to start with just the elephant in the room. Family ministry is kind of unique in the way that we have a lot of opportunity to engage with the next generation in that one, mm-hmm. that 1 hour. And so that 1 hour is super important. And I am not going to sit here and say, just go do everything in the 167, because the 1 hour is super important too. So on a Sunday morning, on average, we have over 60 volunteers that it takes to make Sunday morning happen. That does not mean that Sunday morning is the only place that matters. So what I will tell you is, on average, we have about 100 volunteers that participate with our family ministry, because we seek to build connections and relationships. So in our youngest ages, from fifth grade, maybe even third, fourth grade and under, kids are very concrete thinkers, okay? So they go into building foundations and having kind of that understanding of who Jesus is and building the base of what they know to be true about faith and the gospel. As kids grow, 5th, 6th grade, 11th, 11 or 12-year-olds, they start to become abstract thinkers. And the reason that matters so much is because relationships have to be built in order to help them to grow in their faith. Because no longer do kids just accept information as being the truth. There actually has to be somebody that they trust that's delivering that to them. And so the relationship piece takes a lot of people and time. And so while I know you're all thinking, well, even with 60 people on a Sunday morning, and if half of those are working with that age group that is abstract thinkers, I can't possibly build that deep of a relationship with 20 plus kids. But what if the people that are serving in family ministry could do for a few what we wish we could do for all? And so we start building up those numbers. And that 1 hour starts to give the next generation a frontline approach to experiencing God in rhythms and spaces that are safe and meaningful. And so what I'm saying, guys, is that we have that opportunity in that hour to model our faith. And it doesn't mean that the other 167 aren't important, and I'm going to get to that, hopefully. But what I want to also throw out there is we want this to be a space where kids and students can be their Monday through Saturday self and not put on a version for Sunday morning. In the same way that we want that for every person here. An authentic faith means living it out here in the same way that we do Monday through Saturday. And so that means we need to model that so that the next generation knows that as they start aging out or as they get to the point where they're starting to live their faith out, they can actually step into things in that way.
I love that. You just gave like a perfect summary of family ministry in like 2 minutes.
That's like a little over
two. A ton of information. I love that. So what's going on in family ministry these days?
All right. So family ministry feels like there's just a lot of transition happening in the last couple months. We have changes that have happened in children's ministry. And I would say that, excuse me, our transitions have not been without change and things happening, but our God is also a God that is always on the move. And so in children's ministry, Cassidy has moved into our preteen ministry, and they're really running hard after making those connections and helping the kids as they're developing those abstract ideas. Beth Wagner has moved into the elementary role, and she is actually serving in a capacity now that covers Mega Blast. I'm sure you've heard of that, where they have large group teaching, and then there's also small group leaders. We do still have an opening in children's ministry, and we believe that God is going to fill that role for the early childhood position in the right timing. That is something that we are completely trusting him in. Our middle school ministry is thriving. Roger Fout continues to lead that, and I see my middle schoolers nodding their heads, absolutely. Things are going great, and we have been blessed with volunteers in that space. And I just want to say, because there are so many times where we're saying, we need volunteers, we need volunteers. Middle school ministry has been blessed to have an abundance of volunteers right now. And that doesn't mean there's not space to step in, but it means that God's doing a thing for sure and providing. In high school ministry, we are also experiencing transitions. Last week, students and parents heard the update that Austin Hovermail is transitioning out of student ministry and away from North Canton Chapel. And we're just praying for the days ahead. We are praying that high school ministry and things continue to be led in the direction that God has for us. And it may seem like a lot of movement, but what I'm saying is our lives are not stagnant, students' lives are not stagnant, and we continue to move in the path that God calls us to and pointing our ever-changing world and our kids that are experiencing it to a never-changing God. Because that's what we ultimately have to be rooted in.
I love that. If you've served in family ministry at all, you know it does feel like one of those like people movers at the airport, where like, because kids, they're always moving, right? I just dropped Joseph, our oldest, off to college.
Yes.
And sent him off yesterday. I'm really like feeling all the things, right? And so this is what family ministry feels like. It's a very high and low.
Yeah.
So what's coming around the corner? What can people expect this fall from you guys?
So I would say the days are never slow in family ministry. There's always activity. When I say what's happening now and also what's coming ahead, there's exciting activity, ways to engage both internally and ways to serve. This past summer, I mean, I could take another 10 minutes and talk about all the things that happened and God doing just in the movement of the lives of the next generation. We want every family here to feel engaged and connected. Every student has the opportunity. We have midweeks, we have middle school Bible studies, high school groups, there are preteen connect events. There's so many things that are happening beyond Sunday morning, and Sunday morning's a great place to start, but we want to offer you as parents, grandparents, friends, spaces to get deeper connections built. And we also recognize that those connections need to be supporting you as parents and grandparents as you build those relationships. And so we want to do that for you guys as well. Going back to what I said about the Monday through Saturday faith, that doesn't happen unless we're building those deeper connections. And so that means that we need to provide those spaces beyond the first hour, beyond that 1 hour. I also want to share that Dave's going to be sharing some very exciting news about family ministry facility stuff. I can't stress to you enough how much this church values the next generation. And that we're not a church that's just looking to fill the space on Sunday morning, to keep the kids happy, to make sure that they're quiet. That is not our goal. That is actually not our goal at all. And so growing faith together through generations and being one body is really what we're going after, to make much of Jesus every day to everyone.
Awesome. Judy, thank you so much. Yeah. Awesome. I always tell people when they ask me as a pastor, when they say, hey, we're brand new to the chapel, we want to serve, we don't just want to sit, where should we go? I almost always will tell you, you should talk with family ministry, because it's tremendously rewarding. It is exhausting, but it's tremendously rewarding. And it will give you hope for the future of the church, without question. As I said, like, it's just a tremendous, tremendous opportunity. So switching gears a little bit, I think he's coming from back there, maybe. Micah, will he randomly appear? There he is. I thought he was back there. Who has so embodied this one over 168, he's already got some swag with the hat. You see that? It's pretty brilliant. Micah is our worship pastor here.
We're twins today.
We are twinning. Feeling good. That's right. This is now vintage, in case you didn't know. So we're extra cool.
It's good.
Is that how that works?
Yeah.
Sure.
Extra cool.
Let's go with it.
Okay.
So as our worship pastor, I think you've got an interesting challenge ahead of you here, because I've asked everybody the same question that I'm going to ask you is, how does this 1 hour connect to the 168? And I think one of your biggest challenges is people think it's like, well, if we just sing the songs, is that what worship ministry is about? How does what we do here connect to the 168?
Yeah, so there's a quote by John Piper that I love, where he says that a church learns its theology not just from the sermons that are preached, but from the songs that are sung. Really with the 1 over 168, there is a large part of it in worship ministry that revolves around this time that we gather together. But in this space, we learn that it is not about us at all. And that can be the tension that we feel, as I come on Sunday and I believe that this is all about me, and it's absolutely not. It's not about us. It's all about Jesus. And this gathering is beautiful. And so how does it fit into the 1 over 168? Well, this is the place where we gather to scatter. This is a place where we come together as the beautiful and messy body of Christ with all of our stuff. And we figure out, how do we do this together? And so this 1 hour should both equip you and empower you to move into the rest of the hours that you have. But there's also a big part of it that helps us to remember and to recognize that our God is the one over all of the 168. Mm-hmm. And so whenever we come together, we focus on him, focus on his sovereignty. I'm also reminded of Acts 4. So there's a passage in Acts 4 where Peter and John are taken before a council, accused of preaching the gospel, and they're telling these guys to, you know, shut up, basically. And they get together. Verse 13, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. And so there's a big part of this gathering, the 1 out of the 168, where it is my hope and my prayer that we would leave this space and that it would equip us so that people see us and they go, hey, those people, they have been with Jesus.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I've had that experience. Maybe you have too. Where you leave Sunday morning and you got that last song kind of still in your head. I sing it in my truck by myself with the door closed so no one can hear me. But I think there's a little bit of that where I go singing the theology that we've just been singing in here. So thinking about worship ministries, what's going on right now? I know you've got a season coming up. I know a lot of folks know about it. So what's going on right now in worship?
Yeah, so coming up, I am beginning a season of sabbatical on August 29th, and that'll run until November 24th. So this is my last Sunday with all of us in here for a little bit until basically Christmas time.
That's weird.
So get your Christmas trees ready. It's going to be a good time. But I have really felt God calling me, and that's been affirmed by our elders, by you, by my counselor, just into a season of rest. And so really this next season for me looks like learning what it means to rest in God and really trust him in his rhythms and not try to force him into mine, which I have problems doing. But that's part of sanctification, right, in doing that. So Seth and our team are going to be leading. Seth's going to be leading us in worship most of the weeks while I'm out, but they're great hands. This ministry doesn't rest on me. So
I love that. Yeah. Well, having gone through that, I'm going to be praying for you specifically. I think we all know that. Micah, you serve so well, and so we're with you and we're behind you. So so coming up, maybe between, let's just shoot, maybe between like now and let's say Christmas. Let's say that because, yeah. What can we expect from worship ministry here in the next 3 months especially?
Yeah. Well, while there may be lots of moving and change and lots of other places, there's not going to be much of that coming up. Yeah. If anything, what I can promise you as we look ahead is consistency. So we will consistently be a church that makes much of Jesus through the songs that we sing. They will be about him, not about us. They will be rooted in scripture. And that's the goal, is that in this space, we consistently point to Jesus. So that's a big focus. And the second focus kind of coming up around the corner is just building this team. We've been blessed. So we are a multi-generational church, just like Judy was just talking about. And we have students involved everywhere, which is just incredible. But honestly, some of those students are graduating this upcoming year. You've got one.
Stop it. You're making me feel things.
And so, but no, it's great. And so some of our students, they stay, they hang close, and they continue to serve, and others go. And that's awesome. That's what we do. We build them up to release them out to make much of Jesus every day to everyone. But we are. We're hoping to grow this team. And so if you have the opportunity and you want to be a part of this team, selfish plug.
Way to go.
Come and do that.
Yeah. One thing, I got an extra minute with you, so I want to speak something into you here. We were taking bets earlier that out of the four of you guys that you were going to go the longest. Did anybody else think that? But no, he's got a little bit of time, so I'm going to take 1 minute. I've seen a lot of worship leaders who lead, you know, with a guitar in their hands, some with a piano in their hands. I think, I've said this to you before, that as a worship leader, you lead with a Bible in your hands. You're a tremendous preacher. You handle the word well because you revere the word well, and you know the God behind the word. And so I know that in these next 3 months, we're going to miss having you here, but we're also super excited about what he's going to do in you so he can do more through you when you get back around Christmas time. So it's going to be a ton of fun. So let's show Mike our support and say thank you to him. Yeah, man. Cool. Right on. Last, certainly not least, Dave Short. Dave, you want to come on up? Let's give Dave a round of applause. So I'm gonna tell a little bit of a story. You didn't know I was going to do this, but I'm going to do it just quickly. So before I went on sabbatical, I think most of you guys know that I did that a little while ago. Our elders challenged us to clarify our job descriptions a little bit. And many of you know that Dave and I stepped in together to lead, kind of co-lead in the season around about 2019. And we co-led for about 6 months. And at that point, like a lot of our jobs, like I think we said like 75% of our jobs overlapped. And our elders challenged us and said, hey, you guys need to kind of pull apart a little bit and spread yourselves out a little bit. I think I was running more in your airspace than you were running in mine. And I think it was kind of driving you crazy, and you're too nice to tell me about it. So we're like, okay, cool. And you guys know this. So Dave Short, Dave serves as our executive pastor. I have never met an executive pastor like Dave. Really, truly, you're an executive pastor, emphasis on the word pastor. The way that you do what you do in caring for our finances, our facilities, and our staff here, it's just unbelievable. God's anointed you and appointed you, and I'm grateful for you. You know that, so we're not going to cry.
You know I'm a chain crier, so don't make me start. So.
We'll get going. So, yeah,
thanks for that.
You have another challenge, because when we think about those things that I just mentioned, specifically around facilities, the challenge that you have in front of you is thinking now, like, okay, so how does that, this one, like, most of you're in this facility for like 1 hour a week. How does this 1 hour, how does our facilities, staff team, all of that, how does that connect to these other 167 throughout the course of the week?
Yeah, so it's the tension that we all live in. We've heard some of those themes come up this morning, that we are the gathered church to scatter. And, you know, we have the blessing and the privilege to be able to sit in this space from those people that have stewarded resources long before us. And I like to think about it this way. I've been many places around the world as part of the gathered church, sitting on floors, sitting outside in tents. And I'd like to think if this all wasn't here, that we would still gather as the church. But I'm not so sure about that. You see, this building that we have is an amazing tool, an amazing resource. Not for us to continue to build our own kingdom here, but to steward the space and steward the resources that we have so that there's no distractions or minimal distractions, so that you can sit here in a comfortable environment, so you can sit under the teaching of God's word, so we can sit together, so that we can be encouraged and supported, so that when we launch out from here, right, that this isn't the destination of the end-all be-all, that we see this as the opportunity to be encouraged and equipped to step out of here to make much of Jesus every day to everyone. And I don't know about you, but I need this hour in my week. I need these relationships. I need you. I need this staff. I need all of you guys in my life pouring into me. And the opportunity that we have to be in this building together is just a huge blessing. Yeah. And we have this resource. And again, it's a building that we say it every year at our annual meeting. We have a building that is paid off. And it's an incredible asset that we have. And like I said, it's for us, it's about stewarding spaces rather than building kingdoms here.
I love that. And I love, this is not a destination, this is a launch pad. What a great visual that is. So like when you think about Sunday morning and this facility that you walk into, these doors and like the air conditioning that we're all sitting in, the lights, this is not the destination, this is the launch pad. What a great, great visual. So tell me, what's going on in facilities right now? And then we'll talk about what's around the corner. So what's happening right now?
Yeah. Well, some of the things you've already noticed over the last year or two, you know, it's easy to see when there's things that have been updated here at the facilities, parking lot that got paved a couple years back, walls that get painted, carpet that gets done, lights that were not flickering anymore but now are fixed, sound systems that work. You know, all those things are important to us, and like I said, to minimize the distractions so that when we're here, we could surround ourselves with each other and under the teaching of God's word to worship fully, free from distraction. And so all those things happen. You know, air conditioning units, carpet, paint, there's a lot of things going on always in and around the life of updating our facilities here. And we spent a lot of resources. I say a lot of resources. We probably spent over $500,000 in the last 2.5 years in stewarding the spaces down here. And man, we could spend way more, but it is, again, an amazing opportunity that we have to steward the things that we have so that we can continue to do what God's called us to do here.
All right. So speaking of continuing to do what God's called us to do, what's coming around the corner? I know you got some exciting stuff to share.
Well, Judy alluded to that, and man, we're super excited because for us as a staff, we've been dreaming about what the church looks like 5-10 years from now. I think if we all were honest 4 years ago when we were going through the pandemic, it was like, what is the church even going to look like? But we are experiencing some pain points in our growth in family ministry. What I would encourage you to do is some Sunday morning at about 10:29, maybe even 10:35 for all the families that are toting kiddos. You understand what I'm saying there. Walk up to the family ministry area and just meander through the hallways.
If you can.
If you can. I say the pain points of growth here from a standpoint of it being an opportunity for us to dream about what God could do. And I think when we think about our facilities here as stewarding spaces, we've always started from like, okay, well, we'll expand and we'll build on. And many of you probably even know this or didn't know this, but our old sanctuary from 30 plus years ago is actually our Family Life Center currently. So as this church continued to dream and expand and build on, it has become like this maze of like, well, let's add on, and God's expanding. But what that does now to a current day and age in ministry of trying to retrofit programming and environments to steward the relationships and the connections and the safety and just being able to have just environments where it's intuitive and kid-friendly, all these different things. Like, we start thinking through all those things, and we're like, you know, we need to do something about this. So about 6 months ago, we began to pray, Brandon, Judy, and myself, and began to meet together. And I'm usually the one in these conversations. I tend to be the guardian voice that I slow down the train. Brandon's very, he says he's not a visionary. He loves to dream, okay? He's the creative, and that's great. We need each other in these spaces. So as we're dreaming and praying through what these opportunities look like, God's making it fully known to us that what we need to step into is an expansion project for family ministry. So about 2 months ago, we connected with an architect here locally to start a feasibility study. What we are committing to at this point is just learning and gathering information. We don't know if we're stepping into a $200,000 project or a $2 million project. But what we are committed to here at NCC is we believe that we're not going to go into debt for this. But what we value enough in the next generation is that we want to see our family ministry environments be conducive for what God has called us to here. So we are about, I don't know, a month and a half in. Yeah. And just to kind of whet your appetite for what you may see here at the annual meeting, we're hoping that we would have some visual renderings of what some of these environments and these spaces could look like. So let me just encourage you to pray for us and pray with us that as God is growing our church and expanding NCC here, the opportunities that we have here, the 1 hour a week, to be able to do more, to be more hospitable, to equip more and support more and expand even throughout the week opportunities for families and students to be here throughout the week, not just as a 1 hour destination on a Sunday, but thinking through like how can we use this space for the greater good, for the greater kingdom throughout the week in more realistic ways. So I would ask that you continue to pray for us in that endeavor, and we're excited to be able to share with you in the days ahead what that could look like here moving forward.
Awesome. Let's give Dave a hand, can we? So yeah, there's a lot going on around here these days. And I started off this morning just by sharing a couple maybe negative thoughts, by saying, like, you've heard that the church in the West is being moved to the periphery, and that people in a post-nominal Christian culture have very little use for Sunday morning in church. And I don't know about you, but I don't really believe that. I see it, and I see the church in places is waning. But I look around here, and I see God doing so many amazing things, guys. And I could share stats with you, but I'm not going to bore you with stats, because I'd rather tell you stories and show you these things that God is doing here. It really is quite remarkable. And so I want to encourage you by this idea that when you think about Sunday morning, this is just 1 hour or 90 minutes, depending on who's preaching. It's 1 hour, but it is such a crucial hour, isn't it? This is really where we go. We run to this hour because our souls need this hour so we can sing to our God, so we can sit under his word, so we can see each other. But don't let this hour be the only hour where you make much of Jesus. Let this be the starting point, like Dave even said, the launching pad. And whether you're that person that's in relationships, in our children's and student ministry, if you're hanging out in group life, no matter what your 167 looks like, this 1 hour, gosh, it's so important. And so I just want to say thank you from my pastor's heart to your heart. Just thank you for making this a priority. Thank you for continuing to be here. God has so many exciting things on the horizon. And I could tell you, just to stand and see the things that I see, that we're growing as a church in the right ways. We're not just growing in all the numbers that you kind of glance at, but we're growing in actual depth of discipleship. And it's so beautiful to see. It really, truly is. Last word, and then we're gonna sing a song that I think is very appropriate. We're going to sing Great is Thy Faithfulness, okay? And the reason we chose that one for today, I think, is there's this portion in God's word that says, man makes his plan, but, and some of you know this, God directs his steps. So that idea is like, I got this idea where I'm gonna put my step down, but I can't take one step without God letting me do that. That's how God runs our lives. We all make our plans for our days and our weeks and our months and our years, right? We make our plans, but it's God who directs our steps. And he is so, so faithful. He has been and he will be so faithful. And so let's pray together, can we? God, we do say thank you for everything that you have done. We can look over our shoulder at your past provision. You have shown yourself to be so reliable, so faithful. Not because you want to make North Canton Chapel great. You have shown yourself faithful because you want to make your name great. And you are worthy, God. Thank you for finding us faithful, and we ask for your help to continue to be so in these days, God. We know these are hard days, and I get the sense that they're going to get tougher. But Lord, we ask for your favor. We need you, Lord. We need your wisdom. We need your discernment, God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sending him to buy us back for yourself. Father, we love you, and we say thank you. In Christ's name, everybody said, amen.